Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time in advance with us. Coming up on today's show, we've got somebody who is, IGN has said, is using Twitch unlike anyone else, and they are turning it into something new, witty, absorbing, highly entertaining. And they're looking forward to what he cooks up next. Well, I'm going to reveal who that is in just a moment. But first things first, I'm with my boy Billy. How you doing, producer Bill?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Not very sunny anymore. Very stormy and rainy, and the sun is now gone.
Oh, geez. Well, we're about to talk about a car, actually, which is my killer bit for this week. If you're new to the show, killer bit is where we talk about some way we've been killing time. It can be an app, it could be a computer game, it could be a car, which it is today. But before we get onto the car, Bill, so last week in the UK and a week before, we have had our heat wave, our annual heat wave. And this year we were reaching temperatures of 39 or 40 plus degrees in certain parts of the UK. 40 plus in a city or in a country that is not designed for these temperatures is a big deal because we don't have aircon installed everywhere. Shout out to Kat Osman, actually. She's one of the friends of the show. She's got aircon in her house. She's had aircon in her house for years, Bill. She's been ahead of the curve. She knew this was coming. But for us laymen, we did not have aircon. So how was the heat before for you? Because I've got a little story to tell you.
It wasn't too bad. You just have to deal with it. And it don't get stressed. Just sit there and deal with it. No moaning. Just...
What do you do? Just like sit in front of a fan?
Just leave a fan running just in the corner of the room and just let it do its thing.
Bruv, I can't, that's not enough for me. Even when I'm in the house, I've got water spray that I spray a mist over myself and stand in front of the fan to get an extra little bit of freshness. But you can't really escape it once it gets really hot. But I decided to book a trip to the safari with some family a few weeks ago, just before they announced it was going to be bloody hot. And I think it was Friday, which was one of the hottest days. Maybe it was like the 7th of August or maybe it was the week after that. Super duper hot, yeah. It was definitely the 7th of August. I was in the car at a safari with air conditioning. All's good, right? Yeah? You with us?
Yep, I'm waiting for the change of pace here.
The change of pace, bruv. So it's all good, yeah. And I'm seeing 39 degrees on my dashboard of my car. And we've seen like rhinos, we've seen giraffe, we've seen gazelle, springbok, that kind of stuff. It's cool. Enter the lion area of this safari park, right? I start looking at my temperature gauge. It goes up to 39.5. Then it goes up to 40, right? Right while we're chilling next to some actual, like a pride of lionesses, like some of the most dangerous animals. Lionesses are the ones that do the hunting. Lions in real life aren't, they don't really do that much. Lionesses, they like have the kids, do the hunting, look after family. They do a lot, right? Don't do much. Kind of pretty much that society at the moment, isn't it? Really, men don't really do much. But anyway, yeah, so we're chilling there and then I see the temperature gauge go from 39 blink, up to 40. And the air conditioning in the car that I was in just said, nah, I'm done. And it just stopped. It just literally just cut off. And I'm like thinking, all right, cool. We've pulled up on these lions. We kind of want to see them do something. There's cars in front of us, so we can't really move out of here real quick. And I just had to sit there in a metal can in 40 degree heat, slowly cooking for about 15 minutes. It felt like I was in there for like 2 hours. And I was just remember sitting there going, it can't get any harder than this. Please. And you can't open your windows.
I was about to say, yeah, you can't open the windows.
Can't crack the window for some air. So you're just getting that hot aircon that isn't really aircon, just going like a hot breath breathing over you. I'm slowly like getting wet. My shorts are like soaking up all the sweat from my bottom and my thighs, and the seat's starting to get slippy below me. And I was like, ugh. And then, but anyway, one of the best situations was when we pulled out of the line area about 20 minutes time. Obviously we could open the windows and get some fresh air. When the temperature dropped down to like 39 again, the aircon was like, yep, yeah, we're good to go, bruv. We're good to go. Got me thinking, like, UK cars aren't designed for that kind of extreme heat. When you get less, and I always wondered that, like when I'm in LA and stuff like that, when you get in a car, their aircon seems like so much more like proficient. And yeah, it was proven by my little experience of the heat bill. Other than that, I just made sure that I was in front of a fan all the time. Think it's time to get aircon in the house though, Bill.
Solid work. Now just open a window.
Just open a window. There you go. Anyway, yeah, before we start today's show, we've actually got our guest waiting in the wings. But yeah, I actually, for my killer bit, got my hands on a Toyota RAV4 hybrid car. Now, hybrid cars aren't really anything new to the show, shall I say. But Toyota, way back in 1994, released the RAV4. And it was kind of like a new look SUV, a bit rugged, and the compact vibe of a hatchback. So it's kind of in its own lane. So Toyota have added their hybrid vibe to this. Now, yeah, like I was saying, hybrid cars are cars that obviously run on petrol, but they also have some sort of electrical battery type service that helps it run without using any fuel at all. And the RAV4, that was its job, man, to kind of give you an experience of a rugged 4x4 and also have Toyota's well-known hybrid engine within it. So yeah, that's the car that I got to drive, Bill. Do you want to fire any questions at me before I start reeling off stats about the car?
What's the drive like? Is it any different compared to like a regular car?
Well, it's like a 2.5 litre. So it's got a bit of juice in it. So it's got 215 brake horsepower, I think. And I think that's on the front wheels. And I am reeling off stats at you. And 219 on the all-wheel drive. But what makes a difference is because it's got electric engines in the car and they work together with kind of the petrol drive, I feel like it pulls off quite quickly. So it's quite a smooth drive, as you'd expect from a new car that's a 4x4. It doesn't feel very bumpy. But you find that when you like put your foot down, it goes, you know, Bill. It's not a slow car, and it kind of uses all the best of the petrol and all the best of the electric at the same time. And it's well known now that everyone knows electric motors pull off way quicker than conventional fuel guzzling engines. So yeah, man, the driver's cool. It's smooth. I'm a 6'3" guy, so there's plenty of space for me in there. I did drive it as part of the heat wave. Don't worry, Toyota, if you're listening. I did not take it to the safari, but there's aircon at the back and the front as well. We had quite a nice spec'd out version of the whip to drive around with levers and all. And I feel like it was relatively easy to get in and just use it. Like I always, for me with cars, there are certain brands of cars that have really complex dashes. And a dash for, I kind of find this across most Toyotas, are pretty simple. There are other cars that are quite similar in looks to Toyotas, and when you get in them, they've kind of got buttons everywhere and I don't really know what to press. So the drive was pretty cool and it's pretty easy to kind of make things work on the car as well. Also, Bill, love the heads up display, right? That shows you the efficiency of your car. You make it like makes it into a little game. You can see like if you drive it a bit slower, yeah, you can see that you get way more miles per gallon. And if you do slow braking, you can see the energy being fed into the EV engines as well. Into the EV motors and batteries as well, which is really, really cool. So I managed to get like, I think I got 55 miles to the gallon from my week of driving on average. And kind of in a petrol car where you drive quite sensibly, you're kind of looking at 30, 35 miles per gallon on it as well. So yeah, man, pretty fun drive, Billy boy.
It's not too bad, about 20 miles per gallon extra.
Yeah. On that note, actually, Bill, sorry. If I drive it for a little while and charge up the electric battery that it's got in it, it doesn't just use the electric, it doesn't just use the energy that it saves immediately. It does feed some back into the engine. But if you get enough of it, when you're driving around town, you can actually drive it in EV mode, which you press a button and basically it just uses the electric motors. So that's really, really good. So if you, like, for example, did a motorway drive, drove quite sensibly, charged up the battery a bit, and then when you went into a city, kind of drove kind of slow, kind of, you want to keep it under 35 miles an hour. Yeah, the EV mode kicks in and you're not using any electricity at all. Anyway, Bill, you're saying, sorry?
No, you are using electricity if it goes into EV mode.
Sorry, you're not using any petrol at all. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
I was about to ask, did you drive it in electrical only mode?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I did it. So you'd find that if you went for a drive, like a 20-minute drive on the motorway, 30-minute drive on the motorway, you'd pick up enough energy for you to do that. And also what it'll do is if you're slowing down in certain situations, if you're coming to a slow stop, say you're on an A road or a dual carriageway and you're slowing down, it'll actually kick into EV mode automatically while you're slowing down, because it understands that it doesn't need to give much power to the engines or the wheels, because the wheels are going quite slowly. So, or slowing down. So yeah, it'll kick in. But yeah, I've pressed the EV mode and driven around town, get like a nice little 5-10 minutes of being like, hey, I'm using no fuel. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's all right.
It's good work.
Yeah, man. What else do you want to know, Bill? Oh, man, I could talk about this. I can just keep banging on if you want, bruv.
I mean, I was more interested in if you use it in electrical mode and how different it was to drive. Was it smoother? Was it any more powerful? Was it, I don't know. Did it feel different?
It doesn't drive like a pure electric vehicle, because it's not. Like a purely electric vehicle, you'll find that as soon as you take your foot off the accelerator, it like starts to slow down immediately. But because it's got that hybrid vibe, it feels like an easier transition to petrol. Like I know a lot of people, when you're a petrol car driver or a diesel driver and you go from liquid fuel over to an electric car, it feels really go-karty. Like in a purely electric vehicle, like you put your foot down, it goes, take your foot off, it stops. You can almost use the accelerator as a brake by taking your foot off it. It slows the vehicle down. Do you know what I mean? You don't necessarily need to brake, because those engines, that's just how those engines work. What else did I do with it? It's actually got all wheel drive as well, which I think I flicked for a couple of times, but I didn't really need to do it. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's got all wheel drive. And if you're going over a bumpy road, it's pretty smooth.
Gadgets and gizmos inside.
Yeah, that's the trail mode, like really that I just mentioned. That's the you know, you slap the button on the center console and it kind of gives you a bit of extra torque to the grounded wheels on the car, which I didn't really use that much, if I'm honest with you. Do you know what I mean? Because I wasn't really doing anything crazy. It's got Apple Play, Apple CarPlay, which is a big deal for me. Because I just like to plug my phone in and crack on and kind of have a similar interface. I don't really want to have to learn a second interface on a car, which is quite important to me. Adaptive cruise control. So when you flick it on, you're going down the motorway, it slows down. If a vehicle in front of you slows down a little bit, also does it in slow moving traffic as well, which is nice. I don't like to have to keep braking and putting my foot on the gas.
Does it have lane assist?
Yeah, it's got that as well.
A lot of cars have lane assist now.
If you ain't got lane assist, then you ain't got adaptive cruise control. What are you doing with your life, really, as a car? I kind of expect that. What else have we got here? Sound system's all right. JBL sound system, pretty punchy as well. It was just an all-round nice drive. And a couple of people that I know that are pretty fancy, were like, oh, that's a nice car. What's that? And I was like, it's a Toyota RAV4. They were like, oh, that's nice. Like, as if they were like, they were, oh, I didn't know that was a Toyota RAV4. But yeah, man, it was an all-round nice drive. You get me? It's good. It's reasonable. We got the full pricing up on the website as well. I think the spec I had was about 37 or 38K. So they're going to start at less than that. But yeah, man, Toyota RAV4, had fun with it. Cool drive. Looked good. Had a massive boot, Bill. The boot was enormous. Big deal, that, for me. I like the boot space.
The trunk.
I did sit in the trunk. There's no picture of me, but I did lie in the trunk because it's like the thing. If I'm getting the trunk, it's cool. But yeah, man, no. Is it doing standout crazy stuff? No, but it's doing what it does well, which is it's a good hybrid vehicle, good way to introduce yourself to being a bit greener. If I could give it any improvements, Bill, and I'd say this for any kind of hybrid car at the moment, I've got this feeling, just want it to do more, to have a bigger battery capacity. Like, I just would like that. I'd like to rely more on the electric. And I'd like they've getting very good at making sure that a lot of the drivetrains pump back as much electricity into the vehicle electric batteries as possible. But I just like that to be better. Why? Because why wouldn't you want it to be better? Do you know what I mean? And I wouldn't mind to be able to do like EV mode at like 40 miles an hour on a dual carriageway, like 35 miles an hour was the fastest I was getting before it refused to turn on because it's not like an electric car. But yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah, man. Right. Anyway, I think we should introduce today's guest. He is a comedian who is absolutely using this whole world-changing scenario that is the pandemic of coronavirus to totally reinvent what he does and his comedy. His name is Bilal Zafar, aka Zafar Cakes. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to admit him into this room that we have right now and just surprise him and see what happens. IGN have said that you are unlike anyone else. You are turning Twitch into something very, very new, witty, absorbing, highly entertaining. I look forward to what Zafar Cakes cooks up next. How's it going, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thank you very much. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Now, this is a podcast. Many people will hear it. We do put the video up and clips. Now, what's great about Zoom is you can be anywhere in the world right now. You're in Hollywood. By the looks of things right now.
Oh, I didn't. Yes, I am. I forgot. I change my Zoom background for every call usually.
Okay.
I'm in Hollywood. Is it coming up backwards for you or is it forwards?
It's forwards for me.
Oh, right. It should be. Okay, so it's not flipped.
Should be back.
It's funny when it's...
I'm in Podcast Studio London, so yeah, I'm really there. I'm actually really there.
I love that you've made your green screen can be anything and it's your studio.
But when people, over lockdown, a few people have messaged me who have come to the show new, come across and have gone, nice studio, mate. It's really interesting to see that you can still record in lockdown. And I've stopped trying to explain to them that this is actually a green screen. I've just said, great.
Can they
mate.
Not tell with your like parts of your body disappearing?
Do you know what? When I got the green screen, yeah, and I've turned that, because I've not got the green screen behind me today.
Okay, of course.
It's down. But when I got the green screen down, it does look a bit better. There's a little bit less of a feathery edge around me when I'm in front of the camera.
That's the thing with the green screen, man. It's a lot of hassle sometimes. Like I try and tell new people that want to get on Twitch, I try and tell them not to bother with the green screen unless you really need it, because you need all the lighting and everything. Otherwise, yeah. You don't. The green edge is just horrible.
Yeah, no one likes a green edge, and no one likes it if you wear a top and you don't realize that the top color that you're wearing, if you're like me, might have a little bit of blue in it, but you don't see it. You're like, that's grey, and then you jump in front of the camera, a little bit of green, and you jump in front of the camera, and then you just start looking like a ghost halfway through your show.
I bought a yellow tie for my Pez United thing because I wear a suit when I stream, and it disappeared on stream.
It just disappears.
Yeah, because yellow is too close to green, which I was stupid, I guess, but yeah.
I hear that. Right. We want to talk about Pez United today first, but Bilal, I feel like before we do that, can we cast ourselves back in your career? Can we talk about how you got into comedy? Because, you know, that is what you were known for. You're a funny guy on Twitch, but you were a funny guy beforehand. But how was your journey into comedy?
So I went off to uni to study like script writing and stuff because I wanted to be like a writer for TV, like a comedy writer for TV eventually. Yeah. That was my sort of plan. And then I realized, I guess, so it's a 3-year degree. I think in like my second year, I realized that that's not something that's going to happen. Like, it's not that easy. You don't just get a degree and then suddenly you're writing for the BBC kind of thing.
Well, it doesn't work like that.
No, unfortunately. They make it seem like it does when you're 18.
Hang on. I thought if you get a degree, as long as you get over a 2-1, you were guaranteed to be running the BBC at some point in your career.
No, you need a rich dad.
Oh, fuck. And to be white as well.
Rich enough. That helps.
Yeah, as well. That's like a credit, isn't it? It's like if you're slightly less rich but a white, then you know, like kind of evens it out a little bit for you, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Exactly. But I had none of those things.
What uni did you go to?
Bolton University.
Bolton University.
Yeah, it's not a good one.
Why Bolton? You're not from Bolton, are you?
Right? No, I'm from East London because they had a course which was film writing. Script writing and filmmaking, and not a lot of unis offered that. It was a lot of theory stuff everywhere else, or it was one or the other. And I didn't know I thought I might want to be a director one day. I wasn't sure. And actually, it turns out I'm not very good at the practical. I can't hold like holding a camera and stuff and framing stuff. I'm not that good at. But the writing side, I think I'm quite good at. That's why I went there. But I've done stand up about this. But in my second year of my degree, It's a 3-year degree, so it's halfway through. Bolton University was named bottom of the list of unis. Literally. You know how you have the thing where like the clever kids look at Cambridge and like Warwick is up there and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Literally the bottom one. And obviously in your second year, it's too late to get out. So, yeah.
So you found out in your second year that Cambridge, Oxford, I think it's Buckinghamshire is another fancy uni. Your uni, education-wise, was the polar opposite. And I want to be honest with you, bro. I too went to university in the northwest of the UK. I went to UCLan for the same reason.
That's a decent one, though.
Yeah, it's decent. Oh, yeah, it was Yeah, no, I don't want to be like, oh, I went to the better one that's up the roof.
I mean, it's better than everything's better than mine. What did you study?
I studied media production.
Okay, similar.
So it was like, yeah, for the same reason as you, like I was, every uni I went to was like, I was like thinking, I really want to get into TV or radio. And they were like, so the first thing we're going to do is read about how light enters a camera. And I was like, well, I understand that, but that's like a different job. So then I went around loads of unis and UCLan was like, look, see all that shit? Fuck that. We're going to do practical, picking up the camera and shooting stuff. We're going to teach you how to make stuff. Not as much writing and filmmaking as yours, but I think kind of just more getting your hands on a computer to edit, learning to do stuff, which I think kind of pays dividends nowadays, really, because it means that, you know, I get it how it works. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's massive. It's tough, isn't it? Because like you got to make that decision when you're sometimes 18 years old, which is how old I was, and you don't know what you're doing.
No, for your whole life, you've been told you have to study everything. Bro, you have to study everything. You have to study a language, science, English, da, 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 and then at A-levels, you get a little bit of choice, which really isn't choice. And then they go, right, go on, pick a course then. And you're like, what? Mm.
And I hated it, by the way. I've always hated education. Like, I'm just like that. I much preferred life once I left, even though I had like crap day jobs for a while and stuff. I still preferred being out of that thing where you're told what to do and all of that. I don't know what it is, but
just a rebel. I like the social side of uni. I've got to be honest. I made some friends for life there. And I did learn stuff. I'd be an asshole if I said I didn't learn loads, but like, I think there's a lot to be said about the education system, especially nowadays when we're recording this on the 18th of August, there's a lot to be said about the UK education system and how they're cheating young people. Like, I'm not jealous at all. Like, just to bring you into perspective, if you're not from the UK, one of our listeners that's overseas, in the UK, they've decided, and correct me if I get this wrong, Bilal, because I'm not too savvy in the news all the time, but they had decided that they were going to create an algorithm to decide the results you would get because you couldn't make your exams physically because of the coronavirus. And the algorithm people had worked out was basically taking people from state schools and giving them shit results, and people from quite nice schools, which you paid to get into, giving them quite good results. And everybody kicked up a fuss, and the government's turned around and said, actually, we're going to allow teachers to actually go, right, well, this is the grade that I think people deserve. So teachers are getting a lot of treats right now.
It's like the people that would predict like 3 A's or whatever were getting like BBC or, you know, and that's, you know, like for media people like us, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But like for people that want to be doctors and stuff, it's potentially ruining their life. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm lucky that it wasn't as bad when I was at school and uni and stuff. So like it was the year. So I started uni in 2010.
Yeah.
I think. And it was the year after me that is when they trebled tuition fees. That was the year after. So it's about $3,000 when I was doing it per year. And then it just went to $9,000 a year. So I was going to do a PGCE. That was my original plan.
Yeah.
I didn't have I thought, I should try and be a teacher. I thought that's a good thing to do. So I was going to do that, but it would have been $9,000-$10,000.
Yeah.
So,
Man, imagine that. You go and learn. You come out 3 years later, like $35,000 or $40,000 in debt because you've got your student loan as well. That's a mad way to start your career, isn't it? Here's your career, $40,000 in debt. And you're not even guaranteed to be head of the BBC if you do a course like yours as well. That's unreasonable. So you did Bolton University. I mean, you got to admit, though, before we move on to like your jobs that you did, like uni has got a charm, though, hasn't it, Bilal?
Yeah.
And like Bolton's got a bit of a charm as well, hasn't it, really?
It does. It does make you learn a lot, like how, like a very, quite, like, I don't think anyone would mind me saying, it's quite like a boring town. Like everything shuts at 5.
Yeah.
It's different to London. It's like a very different pace. Yeah. But it was nice going out there, especially being like I say, I was about 18 when I first went up, and you learn so much just living by yourself, innit, and cooking and making too much pasta and everything. It's all very important. it's very important in becoming an adult. So yeah, in that sense, it was good. And then I graduated and I moved to Manchester for a bit, where I was doing stand up more regularly, basically. Not to a level where I was getting paid yet. That took a few years. But that's when, yeah, you mentioned, like, that's when I just got my day jobs. The first thing I did was that I was a care worker in a massive care home in an area called Hale in Manchester, with Hale Barnes, which is not that far from where a lot of footballers live. So it's like a really fancy bit of Manchester, I guess, greater Manchester, you'd say. And everyone I was caring for were like, I'm pretty sure they're all like millionaires in their life.
Really?
Yeah, I found out. So I was on minimum wage. So I was on £6.50 an hour, right?
Yeah.
I found out that these residents, some of them were paying 10 grand a month to stay there.
Jesus. Jeez.
Yeah. And then they had me with a media degree keeping them alive.
Oh man. Well, it is kind of known that care homes do make a lot of money, mate. Very profitable business. High stress terrible. As well, I reckon, to run it as well. Like, was it a specific type of clientele? Was it just older people that were kind of
older people? It was like two floors, right? Quite a big care home. It was assisted living downstairs, yeah, and then upstairs, which had to be all like secure and like you needed a code to get in and out and stuff. It was people with dementia.
Okay.
So they don't know how old they are. They thought I was like their brother and stuff. It was a very interesting time. We weren't allowed any calendars up there because if they saw what year it was, it'd freak them out. So it was all,
oh shit.
Yeah. I was actually going to do a show about it this year. I was going to do my stand-up show, going to take it to Edinburgh. I would have been there now losing money. I was going to do a show about it, which I was excited about. And then, you know, obviously
this thing kicked in, which kind of was and I'm going to choose my words very carefully because I'm not talking about the whole situation, but for you, I feel like a blessing in disguise, this whole scenario, right?
Kind of like it's a weird one because when it first started, so I remember, was it March when it was really bad in Italy, like 800, 900 deaths a day kind of thing. And our government hadn't done anything yet. And I could just, it was obvious that it's coming here. And so in my mind, I'd already thought, right, Edinburgh's off. They can't do that festival in quite a small city with like thousands and thousands packed in. It doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, literally just started getting loads of emails about gigs being cancelled, all the previews for Edinburgh that I had booked in, like some really nice stuff, just all disappeared. So I'd say for about a good like 2 or 3 weeks, I just felt horrible, like properly like panic attacks and stuff, because it's like my year is just gone. And with my work, because obviously I'm self-employed and I don't have anything else really, and it all depends on kind of how well I'm doing at the time. I don't have any like guarantees, basically. You don't have that with stand-up. Again, unless you have quite wealthy parents, which a lot of comedians do, it just depends how good you are and how well you're doing. So I thought, I'm just going to like regress a year, basically. I've just lost it. Like, what do I do now? And then luckily, I thought about streaming on Twitch for a while, but I just didn't have the confidence because I'm not really someone who, like, I'm not good at doing like those Instagram videos where you film yourself doing something funny. I won't be good at TikTok. I'm not like a YouTuber, you know what I mean? I don't have that kind of confidence. Stand up is very different to all of that. And I thought I'll have some fun on Twitch. So I started off just streaming some casual games on there. So I guess I should explain what Twitch is for people because people still don't know.
Yeah, man, please do. Please. Yeah.
it's basically a streaming site. So think of like YouTube Live, basically. But Twitch is its own thing where it's mainly people streaming a game, which means that they're playing whatever, generally the latest game like Fortnite or, you know, whatever's really big. And it's their head in the corner of the screen. You see their faces, they're playing it and they're talking over it. And I can't explain why that's popular to people because it's hard to explain to like my parents, for example.
Do you know what? I'll quickly jump in there. Do you know what you have to say to them? Gogglebox. Gogglebox. Oh, if you watch point. That, it's the same thing, isn't it?
That's interesting. It's the same thing, but even more real.
Yeah.
in a way, because more can, and you can talk to the person on screen. I think that's a really amazing thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to describe it as you're watching, because a lot of people watch me on their TVs. That's how people watch Twitch. Mm. I like to describe it as you're watching a great TV show that you love, but you can talk to it and it might talk back, which is like the best, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. So that's what it is. So I started off just streaming like Portal 2 is quite a popular, like puzzle robot. It's quite a nice game. And I did that a bit and I got a bit bored of it. I thought, this isn't really my thing. I don't really like just talking about my personal life and stuff like that either on stream. So, eventually the idea just came to me of playing one of my favorite retro games, which is Pro Evolution Soccer 5, PES 5, which is a game that was out in 2005, which it was the first football game I really got into when I was like 13, I think, roughly. Mm. And I thought, I'll just play that again. And then I just had the idea. I bought a green screen and like a ring light and stuff for quite cheap off Amazon. That arrived and I thought, right, well, if I'm going to be on screen, I should just be the football manager, just wear a suit on my top half. And that was literally it. I thought, and also when I did that, I thought, this is an idea that I'm sure everyone has done, kind of thing. I didn't think it was original, but it turns out that like no one has done this specific thing at all. Like I get compared to this Dr. Disrespect guy because I guess he's changed what Twitch is in a way, and he has lots of crazy backgrounds and stuff, but still it's nothing like him. And I started with me playing the game. All I have to do is very easy. I just change the background to like a dressing room, do a team talk, change it to one of those, like, you know, where football managers have their interviews after games.
Yeah.
You can get sponsor those off
screen.
Google,
yeah. Sponsorship
things,
screens. Yeah.
Just do a post-match interview after, be a bit like Mourinho type, you know, blame the ref and sort of moan a little bit. And that's all it was. And then gradually it just grew from there where I started giving players voices. And then obviously the next thing after that is you start putting storylines in. And that's it really. And it's just, I've just kept it going for like, I started in late April. What are we now? August. I do it 3 times a week.
Do you know what? I want to talk more about how your streams are going on now. But I think what's really cool about your story is that it's really organic. Like, so your first stream when you kind of donned on the suit and started off PES United, it was really different though, wasn't it? It was literally more gameplay, right? And when you say storylines, you kind of threw it in, but like you kind of gone from there to like there's whole episodes now where there is no football whatsoever.
Yeah. So when I first, it's quite funny watching the very first ones back because like even the voices I do for the players are like rubbish. Like it just sounds like, it clearly sounds like me doing a voice, whereas now I'm a bit better at that kind of thing. And the whole thing is much more slick and looks better. I didn't really know what I was doing at first. And also it was a bit of a mess because have you played Pro Evo?
Oh yeah, man. I love Pro.
You love it.
I was always a pro guy. You know, it was Pro or FIFA. It was FIFA.
Me too.
I was always like Pro because Pro's the simulation. FIFA's the game. I'm a sim guy. That's what it was.
FIFA's for children, isn't it?
FIFA's like basically if somebody was to give you Street Fighter and if you just pressed one button, it did all the different types of punches for you. No. Whereas if you have a full simulation game, I feel like when I play FIFA, I'm actually improving my real life football. When I play PES, I'm improving my real life football skills on the pitch.
Wow. That's quite a statement.
It's true. 100% true.
That's interesting. Yeah. So like when I started, so I switched from PES to FIFA in like 2012 when PES had a bit of a dip, like some of the games got quite poor. So playing PES 5, right? I thought the problem with the stream might be that the game is too easy for me because I was so good at it when I was 13. And then when I played it, man, it's hard.
Different,
like,
right?
It's really not easy. Like the difference with FIFA is that like a through ball, for example, on FIFA, you just press triangle and it will go straight through to your striker. So easy. Or you do a cross, it will land straight on someone's head. Yep. In this, you have to time everything. Or you'll give it away. And so when I first started, I couldn't score and I just kept losing and it was so frustrating. And I just thought, I don't know what I'm going to, so I was like panicking about that. It's quite interesting as well with streaming. Like it's a bit like stand up or I guess even podcasting, anything where when you first start, you're full of like panic of anything going wrong. And it's like now, like if you had a technical problem and like, I don't know, your internet went off or whatever, it's fine. You just call me back and I know you anyway. It's all right. But like if it was your first podcast, you'd be freaking out and all flustered and stuff. Yeah. And I got like that on my first streams where if something went wrong or I had a small tech, like my controller stopped working once. And I think I was blushing. I thought everyone is going to leave. Like this is the end basically. But that's not what Twitch is like. Everyone is very patient. They're there for the whole thing. So even like if I start rambling about something, if I pause the game and start talking rubbish, it's all part of it. It's like a full, the whole thing is entertainment. Also, people don't necessarily watch it like they're watching a film. They sort of, they can have it on in the background. You know, a lot of people stream for like 4 hours. That's like quite common. Mine tend to be maximum 2 hours usually. Yeah, sorry, I can ramble quite a lot, by the way.
Continue, please noticed. Crack on, mate.
What was the, did I answer your question?
I just asked how you were today about 30 minutes ago, and this is
where we are. Yeah. The thing is, I have a lot to say about Twitch, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think it's great because I think the reason that it's really interesting talking to you about it is that you're not super long in the tooth, but you have been doing it for a while. So I feel like it's quite a relatable conversation for those who want to get into streaming, which I'll ask you about later, you know, if you want to get into streaming, what are your tips and such?
Sure.
But it's just interesting to hear from your point of view, because you're enjoying this really lovely explosion. Yeah. I mean, like for example, IGN have had covered you a few times really with regards to your content. And I was like, for you, was that quite interesting when you had one of the world's, if not the world's biggest outlets for kind of gaming journalism saying, hey, we want to hit you up because you're doing something different on Twitch?
It was ridiculous because like I've got management that look after me and they have a PR side and they try and get me some stuff. So quite nicely, they got me, I told my management I want to write for The Guardian about Twitch and they got me a little article where I got to do that, which was amazing. And then suddenly, like out of nowhere, IGN did a tweet about me and they'd written an article saying binge this series because I stick it all on YouTube. And that was crazy. It turns out a few of the guys that write for IGN and stuff watch my stream because they just really enjoy it. And then they did a little documentary about me on YouTube as well. Yes, it's crazy. Like you can't get better PR than, and also like I know IGN really well. I hadn't looked at it for a while, but it's where I used to always read stuff on there about games years ago. I know it's a massive thing. They've got like, I think they got like 7 million Twitter followers or something stupid.
Man.
And I started getting all that thing of like, because they said the Twitch streamer that's reinvented the platform, I got loads of those like American kids being like, no, he hasn't. Dr. Disrespected that. And like, just really angry. But that's when you know that it's going well. When you start randomly getting, not abuse, but just people saying what you do is rubbish without even watching it, which I don't mind.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Of course.
Yeah, it's been really nice. And I've got some other stuff coming up that I'll tell you about it when we finish recording. But it's all very nice. And also, like, it's just, the chance to be creative like this for me is just incredible. Cause like, basically, right, the situation I was in before is that I've been doing stand-up for like, what is it, like 7 years?
Yeah,
about 7 years when I did like my first open mic kind of thing. And then in 2016, I got nominated for an Edinburgh Award, which is like a big, a massive hype thing, right? You don't get any money for it or anything, but you're nominated. I didn't win the thing, but still a nomination is considered a really like important thing. And then honestly, for about the last 4 years, it's just been meetings about stuff. And I've turned a lot of stuff down because most of the stuff has been like, do you want to do this Muslim thing? Do you want to do this Asian thing? And it's, the thing is, I'm not against doing that sort of thing, but it's really cringy stuff. Like basically it's always written by a white guy and it's bad and they want me to basically come on and make it okay. So I was asked, like the most recent one, I was asked to come in as a writer and star in some show, about Muslims, totally written by a white guy. And I was like, what? And it was also, it was rubbish. Like it was like, oh, I shouldn't be too specific, but I don't really care. It was about like a couple of detectives who are like lapsed Muslims who pretend to be religious to get in with this community. And then it turns out there's some terrorist or something. And it's like everything I hate. and the thing is, cause you get the email and it says like, oh, do you want to be like a detective in a thing? We'd like, and I'm like, I love detective stuff. I was really excited.
There's you thinking you're going to get your Luther on, your Touch exactly. of Frost on, your Inspector Morse. You thought, yes, Sherlock. I've made it. There we go. The Wire. I've got this.
The Wire. Yeah. The British Wire.
Yeah.
That's Top Boy, isn't it? To be fair, sort of. Yeah. And then it's always that. It's like you scroll down in the email and it's like, oh no, it's because they've seen like your name and your color and stuff. And it's basically just based on that. And they probably wanted a more famous Muslim anyway. And they've sort of gone down the list because I'm not on TV or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's constantly been that. So literally to the point where I was pitching ideas to TV and radio and stuff, which, so I was told by an Asian producer that I have to Trojan horse my way in, which means that I pretend it's an idea about being Muslim and then I get to do my own thing. So I was writing up these ideas, which were like that. So, which is kind of depressing, but you don't really think about it when you're doing it. You don't realize how unhappy it makes you at the time. And now with Twitch, I'm just a football manager. Like, and so many people, like I get between, the viewers are really up and down depending on obviously what's going on, but it's between like, I'd say 500 to 1,000 people tune in.
It's a considerable live. Amount of people live watching you and following you, just sitting there watching your every move. Do you know what I mean?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe it. I couldn't believe when I had like 50. I thought that is that because that's a good gig. If you do a gig in like a small, like a basement room kind of thing with like 50 people like packed in, that's good. That's a great gig, you know. Yeah. And now to have this many is just it's unbelievable.
Exactly, and I think like it's really interesting that. We've kind of, I mean, look, I'm not, I don't want to be establishment bashing because I think big companies do hold their place within media, but don't you find it interesting now that between say 2000 and even 2010, right, where you were enrolled at uni and then had your journey in comedy and all the way to 2020, how the kind of things have shifted where it was probably fairer to say in 2010 that you needed to have the award nomination and then blow big on the BBC with a Trojan horse kind of script. Whereas now you're more likely to be able to find that you can find your own audience and be more yourself. Cause if there's one thing that is very interesting about Zafar Cakes, stream. I feel welcome to you, Zafar Cakes. I'm gonna call you Bilal. What do you prefer, bruv?
I don't mind.
Oh yeah, cool. When I'm watching your stream is that like, you're just having fun and also being yourself. And like, I feel like some of the biggest things, the biggest bits of progression I've made within kind of my career in terms of things going really well, getting a big project on, has always come off the back of just being myself. And when you got that award, for being, or that nomination, you got that nomination for just being yourself with your comedy. And between then and now, maybe you've been trying to tweak your stuff to kind of fit it into a box to get that commission, to get that thing done. And now,
yeah, totally.
By being yourself again, not through pure choice, but through it having to be a necessity. And you've kind of, there you go, your growth has started again.
Yeah, it's like, it's all, literally all I'm doing as well, it's like, I've not reinvented myself on my stream. I'm just doing my stupid humor constantly.
Yeah.
Just improvising it. Another thing which makes me really, really love Twitch is it's free to watch. Or you can subscribe for a fiver a month, but you don't have to. You can totally watch it for free. I think you don't even need an account to watch. Obviously, you need one to comment and stuff. And what I realized as well with comedy is probably part of the reason I've been a bit unhappy is because, like, in Edinburgh, right, there's a certain type of person that goes to Edinburgh. I wouldn't have gone to the Fringe if I didn't do stand-up. I honestly didn't know what it was until I started stand-up. It's not my world, right? I grew up watching TV comedies with my brothers, films on TV, going to cinema, that sort of thing. That was our thing. It's what you can afford, isn't it? I never went to the theatre. I've never seen a musical, like, live. It's not really what I do. So, like, suddenly I'm in this world where I'm respected by all these posh people. Like, the people that run the Comedy Awards in Edinburgh, they're not like me. You know, they're proper, like, you know, they're posh theatre people, basically. So around that time, you have all these, you know, you have all these papers recommending you and all of that stuff. And then, again, it's just... I'm not saying that they're all posh people, but it's a certain type of person that goes to Soho Theatre I don't know how much my tickets were, if it was like 15 quid or something, but that would have been expensive for me growing up you know, me and a friend paying 15 quid each when we can go cinema and get like a discounted student ticket. It didn't make any sense. So now it's like for the first time in my career, I think I'm getting people watching me who are like me. Because before... I didn't have much stuff online, so you could only see me live. And yeah, if you were like how I was growing up, you wouldn't go to like Soho Theatre, or
I wouldn't, yeah.
No. Or you wouldn't go to the Edinburgh Fringe. It's so expensive. Have you been to Edinburgh for the Fringe?
I've gone to the Fringe once because my friend had a show there, and I didn't, I still don't understand it. I don't understand. I get it. There's lots, I get it, but I don't get it. So there's like loads of, and this is correct and wrong. So there's loads of people that were like pitching their shows live on the street. So my friend's like theater production was very physical. So they had a fake street fight going on for like 20 minutes at a time. They must have been knackered. And then people would be like, oh, there's a fight. And then they go over and they'd be like, ha ha. Not, well, they didn't be like, ha ha. They'd be like, no, we're not fighting. Yeah, when the police come, they're like, ha ha, police. They give out a flyer saying, this is our show. Come and see the show. And then then everyone has to kind of have their own cool way of getting people to come to their show.
Yeah, I mean, mine was different. So I do it the comedian's way, where you pay for PR and you get all these papers recommending you, and like The Guardian hopefully put you in top shows to see and all of that stuff. And then I have someone flyering for me, because I don't really like approaching people on the street personally. So I have people just flyering and saying, come and see this. And then I've got all my little credits on my flyer. That's how it works for a lot of comedians. Or you can flyer yourself. But that, the theatre side is totally different. That's the thing. But yeah, it's like, but even to go up to the Fringe, it's so expensive. So my brother comes up usually when I'm up there. And it's like all the bread and breakfast there, right? It's ridiculous. So for the rest of the year, there'll be a standard price. And then for the month of August, even if you looked, like, I'm pretty sure if you were able to check for next year's August in Edinburgh, all the bed and breakfasts are like £100 a night minimum.
Jeez.
Yeah. So my brother managed to get an Airbnb for like 65 quid a night, which is okay if you're going for like 2-3 days, but obviously not if you're living there for a month. So for me, it's like I have to share with a bunch of people and it's not always going to be the best. It's just so expensive. So it's just like it's all against you. If you're like working class based, it's like you're not welcome there. That's how you feel when you go up. So now to have Twitch is like the total opposite of that, which I didn't think was possible. So, you know, like I tried the time I met you, I started a podcast with a friend who's a comedian, and I thought, okay, that might be a way to sort of get to my audience, which I haven't got to yet, kind of thing. People that might like me. Didn't really take off. It did okay. It was quite a cult, very niche podcast. I was proud of it. I think it was really funny, but
it's a great take off.
And then I did a web series as well at like the start of the year. And again, I'm very happy with it. I think it's really good, but it just didn't take off how I wanted. I think lockdown might have been a problem as well, because do you remember when lockdown started, everyone was putting out content, even though it wasn't very good.
Everybody had a lockdown podcast for every day. I was like, bruv, we can't all do this. We can, but you got to make it different, son. There was a lot of, hey, day one, biscuits.
Yeah.
Day two.
Exactly.
Crisps. I was like, no.
Yeah. But like, so the problem I had is that I put my web series out at that time and I was clashing with like, you know, very famous comedians doing very short little Instagram videos or whatever. So people had enough stuff to watch. And so they weren't finding me. So it was all these. So I it's not like I hadn't tried before Twitch to be an online person. But yeah, now it's like I've found the thing that works best. And also it's great because I clip out bits of the Twitch stream, put them on Twitter, which really helps, stick them on YouTube. I put the full streams up on YouTube, which people really like, because Twitch, I think Twitch isn't always the best to watch stuff back on. People much prefer, it's just much easier to use YouTube. So every night I upload the full stream straight to YouTube, edit some clips, sleep quite late.
I hear that. I was going to say, it must be quite a bit of work for you at the moment, like in terms of doing stuff, because you are writing a show now. Like you're writing in, like I said, I didn't say it flippantly and this wasn't an out of place remark. Your episodes now, some of them don't have any football whatsoever. Like we have a new character who's quite demonic in his demeanor. And you went over to Reese's house. And
yeah, we
that
did.
Was a surprise. So,
I should say though, none of it is scripted. It's just like a few bullet points and it's all improvised. So like,
serious.
Yeah. So the first time the Reese thing happened was I just gave him like a kind of scary voice. And I wasn't sure what he was at first, but he just kind of goes like, thank you, sire. And I thought it was so funny that he called me sire. And it made me laugh for ages on the stream that I'd done that. And that just carried on as a thing where something has happened. We're not sure what, but he's got possessed. I might have had something to do with it. I might be possessed now, but it's not very clear. And he also might be a vampire. Like it's not, you know, it's not. It doesn't really make sense. So yeah, we had an episode. I should tell you, there's a structure that I do. So normally on a Monday, it's fully improvised, just play games and be a manager. Wednesday, we have a guest on, which is like a person who's part of the club. So like the owner of the club or I don't know, all sorts of different roles. And they're usually a comedian that I'm friends with. I just get them on to improvise some they don't even know about football most of the time. I give them some bullet points and we improvise. Mm. And then on Friday, we do some crazy thing where it's a pre-planned thing. So like, yeah. So last Friday I did one, I think it was one of my best ones where it was a seance. So we went over to Reese's house, which is a castle, like a haunted castle. And I had like a Ouija board thing, which by the way, that wasn't hard to set up. That only took like 10, 20 minutes to make all of that. It really wasn't as hard as it looks kind of thing.
Yeah. And bats and stuff flying around as well. That looked pretty cool.
Just a GIF or a GIF off Google. That's all it is. And you put it in, it's quite easy. And then all we had was Discord, Discord, basically it's a bit like Zoom if people don't know Discord, but gamers use it. I guess that's the best way to describe it for now. I just had people lined up. I just put a message out. I said, if you want to be on this as a caller, I didn't tell them what was going to happen. Just let me know. And then I just called the people one at a time and we were like, spirit, are you there? And then each person was like the spirit of a dead football fan, whatever. There's a character that everyone loves called Barry, who's quite an angry Pez United fan, and he died, which we didn't know about, but he came back on. Yeah. Which, by the way, is played by my brother, Barry, which everyone always wants to know who it is. But yeah, so my brother does it. And I had a few viewers just call in and just say some fun stuff, and they were all really good. And I had Suze Kempner, who's a comedian, was on as the spirit of dead EastEnders characters, which was incredible. She was so funny. Like, again, all improvised, but she just stole the show so much. She was Doc Cotton, Doc Cotton's son, Nick, who she killed. And she was in hell with him, killing him again and again.
Yes.
And she was Pat Butcher in heaven when we called her again. And Peggy Mitchell as well. Or if you know EastEnders, they're all like iconic characters. Mm. And it was incredible. It's like, yeah, like as a comedian, you don't get the chance to do this usually. You don't, because everything you do has to be so like considered, and you don't get to just have fun, because it's like your time is so precious now. When you're previewing a new show, you can't waste your stage time. You know, if you've got a good audience and you have to try all of your best ideas out, there's not much room for silliness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's really like the whole, I mean, is it fair to say the Twitch audience as a whole is probably one of the nicer audiences online?
You know what? I can't say that because we had a thing a couple of months ago called Blackout. I think it was a Blackout Wednesday, and it wasn't to do with the Black Lives Matter thing. It was to do with, well, it was partly that actually. It was to do with all the abuse on Twitch that mainly women get and really? A lot of racism. Yeah, because it's gamers, isn't it? There's the whole Gamergate thing. Yeah. So they're all on Twitch and nothing gets done about them. So they're anonymous. They got a stupid name. They can come on, say whatever they want. They get banned. But that's the end of it. They can make a new account and come back. So luckily, I've not had anything that bad yet. I've had a few people come and be rude, but I just ignore them most of the time because luckily the chat is quite busy. Mm. So it just disappears. But yeah, female streamers get a lot of, that's the case with women anyway, generally, tend to get some of the worst stuff, worst creepy stuff. I think I'm quite lucky that because I'm a character when I'm the football manager, how do you give me abuse? Like, it's kind of hard to do. And also, I'm quite aggressive anyway. So I tell my viewers to shut up randomly as a joke, but I'll just say, shut up, mate, like over very small things and get quite angry at them. Because I'm this unhinged football manager. So I guess maybe that's why. So I think if you're on as yourself, it happens everywhere. I'd say it's definitely nicer than Twitter, which is just like hell.
Yeah. Twitter at the moment is just not a fun, some of the most ridiculous things on Twitter. So yeah, I noticed that with Twitch. Can we talk a bit more about your character as well? And he's got an addictive personality, to be fair, hasn't he? Can we chat about that below?
So what happened is right at the start of the stream when I only had, I'd say between 10 and 50 people at the very start.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was addicted. So hot Pepsi is the drink that we drink. And that just came from, I was just drinking. I don't know what I was having. It might have even been water in the cup. Right. And someone said, what are you drinking? And I said, it's a hot cup of Pepsi. And that just stuck as the thing. And that became our sponsor of the club as well. Is Pepsi spelt wrong? That was the thing I went with. And then I would add something to my Pepsi and I would add, so I can't remember how I was doing it, but I was adding a little bit of liquid in and I tried to deny it, but it was cough syrup with codeine in it, which, that's what rappers drink in America, right? It's called lean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it's quite funny that this football manager is addicted to a drink that rappers drink in America. I thought that's quite random. And then as time went on, as I was getting more viewers, I realized like, you can't make jokes about taking a real drug. So then literally one stream, I had like not a mouth ulcer, I had wisdom tooth pain, which was really annoying me. And I had some Bongella and I was just taking it on stream. And I was being quite animated that stream anyway. And it looked like the Bongella was doing that to me. So then it turned out I had a Bongella addiction and then that became a thing. And I sort of took that as far as I could to the point where I had to have an intervention. And I took my golf cart on the motorway. and I went to the golf course, which is my favorite place. Yes. And all my players were there and they sang Fast Car to me by Tracy Chapman, obviously. and I love that. I really love that stream. There's room for all sorts of things, all sorts of scandals that I've not even done yet. There's still loads more to come, hopefully. But yeah,
I think there is. And, you know, and also there's a little bit of football in there as well, which is cool too. So in terms of kit, what's really interesting is that every streamer has their own kind of setup. They have elaborate, you know, fancy lighting in the background, or they have a green screen. For you, how important was that in terms of getting your stream out there?
So obviously the green screen is hugely important because without it, I couldn't do the fancy background stuff and I wouldn't want it to look like, it couldn't be my bedroom and me wearing a suit and being a manager. It wouldn't make any sense. So yeah, it was massively important. But like you go one step at a time and I try and tell people that when I give them advice, I'm like, you don't have to spend like £1,000. So at first my setup was the Logitech C920, which is the standard like streaming camera, which I think I got for like 80 quid. Yep. Ring lights are like, I don't know, they're like between like 10 and 30 quid on Amazon. the green screen was like 30 quid. My PC cost about £300 and I bought it mainly for editing. It's not really a gaming PC, so I can't play the latest stuff on it. So yeah, and also my microphone. So I got like a fancy one now. But at the start, I bought an Amazon Basic mic, which I think it was like £25, and it was really good. It broke. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if that's the mic itself or I banged it or something. Mm. But it went all muffly, basically. So I had to get a new one. But obviously the kit is very important to get started. You can't do it. Like, I wouldn't advise streaming without a webcam because I've seen people do it where it's just a voice and it's just not as fun. You don't get the connection with the person. And again, I wouldn't stream in silence either. People do that. People stream and you can't see them or hear them. And it's like, why would I want to watch this?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a bit odd.
That's just, yeah. That's how I watch Twitch though. Like, some people watch it for the gameplay. I watch it for the entertainment. So I tend to watch people that are quite funny and it's their personality. So like Limmy, for example, who's a good friend of mine, he sort of encouraged me to get on Twitch as well. He's so funny on Twitch. Like, he plays like Dead by Daylight, which looks like quite a fun game. I still don't really understand it, but I watch it for the entertainment of it all and him getting frustrated and him laughing when he manages to kill all the people. And you know what I mean? Mm. So yeah, I'd say obviously the kit is very important, but you don't have to, I wouldn't say you have to splash out at like loads of money. Like, in fact, I wanted to do an article. The Guardian thing I wrote originally, I wanted it to be about how Twitch is like the theater for working class people, because you can do shows like you can do as many shows as you want, and your setup can be like £400.
Yeah,
which you can make back through Twitch. And the people watching watch for free, which is the complete opposite to having to have like, acting training or like paying like 50 quid for a theater ticket and all of that nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, it's really brought the barrier down, hasn't it, with regards to access. And I suppose, I'm not going to ask you for like details, like financials, but it is a sustainable career, isn't it, Twitch? You can, and we have seen people, have a career out of it. Do you know what I mean? It's a good way to supplement things, especially if you are a comedian who can't get on stage live at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, well, like, I don't want to get too excited, but right now it's good. I'm making a nice amount of money monthly, but obviously I don't have any guarantee with it. So I don't know if my subs could drop off. And if they shouldn't, they really shouldn't, but it's not like,
no, I'm don't you dare. You should not.
No. I won't. By the way, I'm determined not to.
Oh, I was actually talking to your subscribers saying, don't you dare unsubscribe.
I thought you were giving me a pep talk, like an aggressive.
No. Oh, no, a pep talk for you would sound so different.
Okay, thank you.
You've got this, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. But, you don't want to get, when you start getting something, it is on a month-by-month basis.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to get paid the same amount monthly, unless it's like a fluke, basically. So it will always go probably up and down. I guess I have to judge it after a year. It's only been, I started in April, because you have to become affiliate first and then you can become a Twitch partner, which is the top thing, which I am now. I've only been paid 3 times by Twitch so far.
Right.
So it's only been 3 months of actual, like, right, proper subs where I get paid kind of thing.
So you can get paid when you're a partner then?
No, affiliate.
Okay, when you're affiliate, okay,
which
cool.
is easy. It's very easy to get affiliate. You need like an average of like 3 viewers, I think. And you have to stream a certain amount of hours. So you can get that easily. But then partner is, it's just slightly more money. And But affiliate is still brilliant.
So, Bilal, I've got to ask you this question.
Yes.
Comedy
is
something that you can't do at the moment in the way that we used to conventionally on stage. If everything disappears tomorrow with regards to this pandemic, how are you going to feel about stand up again?
It's a weird one. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of certain things. I don't know what I'm going to do with the Edinburgh Fringe, because I could obviously try and go up there and stream from there, but I think that might be massively overworking and that might not be good for my health. I've already decided I am now no longer going to do stuff I don't want to do. I've done a lot of work over the last like 4 years that I don't want to do, but I've had to because I needed the money. Like, I did like some BBC video, which I absolutely hated, and they made it rubbish, right? Which, I mean, they know they did. It's fine if they're listening. They said, so I had a green screen behind me, they said, what we're going to do is we're going to animate all these little things going across the screen and behind you and stuff. And I was like, that's great. And then they didn't do that. They just cut to animations. But for green screen, when you're doing it professionally, they have to put loads of makeup on you. So I just had all this makeup on for no reason. And like, and the screen was still green, I think, which looks bad, what? In my opinion. I think so. I'm not going to look it up, but yeah, I think that's what they did. So, and I did that for like, I don't mind saying, I got like 500 quid for it. And so at the time when I got the email, I was like, well, it sounds crap, but I mean, no, to be fair, I didn't think it sounds crap. I thought this isn't what I want to do personally.
Yeah.
I'm being too harsh. but then I had to do it, and then I had to, and they, I think they paid me late as well, which is great about being self-employed. You get paid late quite often. Twitch doesn't pay you late, by the way. So I was having to chase the payment, and it was that was my life basically. It was always that. And it's like, you realize that's why I was unhappy. Because you think, I'm a professional comedian now, I should just be happy. Like, what's up? And then you, it's like, no, I'm not doing anything I want to do.
Yeah, I think that's what truly frees you as a creative, is when you can have enough choice, finance, time, space, you know, to kind of think about things where you can say no to things that you don't want to do. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things sometimes to say no, but also one of the most empowering things when you can just say, like, you know what? That's not for me. So yeah, that's very, very interesting. And I'll always be checking out your comedy stuff. But to be fair, with regards to your script writing, you are still pursuing that in a way on Twitch as well, right?
Kinda. I mean, also, I've been asked. I mean, again, like, I don't think I've been asked about adapting this to TV and stuff, my Twitch thing. And it's all, I don't know what to do, because I kind of feel like Twitch is better than TV now. Like, unless you were getting a really huge thing, like, no disrespect to some TV channels, but it wouldn't make sense for me to write a thing and then go on a channel where, like, it's not necessarily going to make me huge. Like you know how, like, with comedy stuff, it used to be the case that you go on, like, Mock the Week and you're a celebrity now. Or you go on, I had a friend who, like, he went on, like, Never Mind the Buzzcocks years ago, and then suddenly he's, like, huge on Twitter. And that's not the case now, because there's too many of these shows. It's not the same either. Like, people don't, they're not as popular as they were. So even with that, I guess I have to be a lot more picky now. I don't know. Yeah, but I'm going to keep, I guess I've got to keep, I've not done, sorry, you were asking about a specific thing.
No, that's all right. We'll get back onto that. Don't worry, mate. I got you, bro. Crack on.
I just
on.
Missed what you were asking.
Crack on.
So what you were, I don't mind. You can even leave that in, because I like it.
Fair enough.
the thing that you meant about script writing, I'm sorry, I forgot, as I was so much thinking about the Pez thing, is that I'm literally writing a script every Saturday at 8 p.m. I started a thing, and again, it's like I was doing a random stream where I got quite bored. And I thought, right, I'm bored, let's write a script. And I just got the script writing program up on screen, which is very easy to do. I had myself in the corner there. And there's a, so basically this is based on, so Limmy, that streamer that I really like, he is a coder. That used to be his job. He used to code. And one stream I just started not making fun of him, but I just started saying that if you're in a, like, there should be a film about you starring Jason Statham called The Coder, based on your life. And I said, okay, let's write that. It's like a stupid action film. And what I do is that right now, every Saturday, I literally write the script on screen, and I have the chat suggest stuff that goes in. So it's like a stupid action film with lots of twists and turns, loosely based around coding. We got Jason Statham, Benedict Cumberbatch. We got Madonna in there now.
I love it the way you say it, like they're actually signed. We've got Madonna locked in.
Obviously Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant, obviously
a geeky guy, obviously. Lots of gunfights. It's just turned out that there's all these, like, soldiers that are, like, after the coder, and he's just figured out that they're all, like, clones of him, and that's where we left it last week.
Yeah, a copy and paste job.
He said that.
Oh, yes.
He said they've only gone and copied and pasted. and that's where we left it. So, that's where we are. So we're like 11 or 12 pages in or something. And I want to do the full 90 pages. Like, why not? And then I don't know if Jason Statham has like a sense of humor about that sort of thing, and if I could ever get him to do something with it, I've got no idea. But definitely do like a script read through, like maybe when it's done with some like actors I know. That'd be cool.
That'd be wicked, man. If you need somebody along, I'm well involved. I don't think I can do a Jason Statham though. You're gonna have to find somebody. You alright, mate? What's going on?
Yeah. Exactly. That's how we kind of. Yeah. I mean, that's.
I'm Jason Statham. Yeah.
Jason Statham. That's kind of how I do it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the one.
It hurts your throat though after a while. That's the thing.
I need a lozenge or two, like, you know, between scenes. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's wonderful. That's amazing. And honestly, like, Bilal, man, I'm just happy that you've kind of used Twitch to find your audience and you're having fun with it. I think one of the things that we lose sight of, even I lose sight of sometimes, is when I'm creating stuff for, like, you, the listener, you know, is that we're just here to have fun, man. And like, we should be having fun with it. Do you know what I mean? And it's a blessing that you can jump on every week and interact with a bunch of people, whether you're in your suit, managing your team, drinking the hot Pepsi or sucking down a blue tube of the blue stuff. Do you know what I mean?
The blue tube, yeah.
The blue tube. Yeah, it's really, really good, man. So thanks, man. And where should we go for you to find you on Twitch, just to be super clear of our audience?
Sure. So it's twitch.tv/ZafarCakes. That's Z-A-F-A-R cakes.
Yeah,
one word. Yeah, I stream right now most days of the week. So like, it's quite nice as well because like I'm trying to get you on Twitch as well. We've had that conversation.
Yeah. But it's like, happening.
Yeah, it's quite nice that once you're a bit more comfortable with it, you can just jump on and do whatever and just have fun. So like today, so tomorrow I'm doing a Zoom gig with Sarah Millican that she asked me to do a while ago, which is quite nice. But I've not done stand up in so long. I don't even remember what my material is that I was sort of doing before lockdown. So I'm going to just do a stream tonight at about 6 p.m. tonight, all about stand up. And I'm going to prepare my set list and talk about that. Cause people are really, whenever I do like a thing where I let people ask me questions about myself, they always want to know about stand up. People, you know, find that really interesting. So yeah, I'm going to do that tonight. And yeah. I look forward to seeing what you do on there.
I feel like you've changed the game. So I'm really open-minded about kind of what we think we can kind of bring to the table with regards to getting on Twitch. And I think likes of yourself, Limmy, you're kind of pushing it in directions that I wouldn't have expected people would push it in. So yeah, man, I'm involved. I don't think this is the last you'll hear of How to Kill an Hour and Twitch and yourself and that moving forward, man. 100%. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on the show today, man. And I just want to let everyone know there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us. I've been Marcus Bronzy, joined by Zafar Cakes. Actually, before I let you go, one more thing. Zafar Cakes, where did that come from?
The name Zafar Cakes firstly came from, it was when I was in sixth form. So I've had the name for a while where we had to do this blog thing as part of a project. It was actually really good for media studies. And it just sounded so Zafar. I would pronounce it as Zafar, and it's just a bit like Jaffa, so it's just Jaffa Cakes, and it's Zafar Cakes. And then that has been important for me because in 2016 my Edinburgh show was all about when people online, like racists online, thought that Zafar Cakes was a Muslim only cake shop as of a rumor my brother started, and so that was really important. And now it's my Twitch name, so it's always been quite a So I've just stuck with it. I really like it as a name.
All right, that makes sense. I love the fact that Twitter was just absolutely fuming with a bakery that's only for Muslim people. I love the fact that Twitter could come up with that and believe it as well. Your brother's also a G.
Yeah. He does that sort of thing all the time. Yeah. So the fact that also it's not a business idea that would make any sense. Like if you turn someone away if they're not Muslim, like you wouldn't. Yeah. Sell much. So the whole thing didn't make any sense. So again, like that was just to expose how stupid like bigots are, right? And I thought that's what everyone would see it as, but no one really saw it like that. They only producers and stuff, they only saw it as, okay, what else can he do with Muslim stuff? And so that was quite disappointing. But I want to get that show filmed, hopefully. Like now that I might be able to put a bit of money aside, hopefully, and fund it myself if I have to, or get a sponsor or something. And I'd love to, because I don't have the whole show filmed. I've only got segments of it. It was an hour.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I look forward to seeing more bits from you. Is your bro a comedian as well?
No, I'm just lucky. My family's quite funny and silly. So he's always quite excited by what I'm up to, and he always tries to get involved. So yeah, so he's joined in on my stream a bit. So so the first sort of call-in thing I did on my Pez stream was a phone-in show, a bit like TalkSport.
Yeah.
And he was Barry, who was like a really annoyed, like angry fan. And then it turned out he was only 14 years old, even though he had this really like this really deep kind of Cockney voice. And then he died, and then he came back in the seance. And do you know why he died? It's because he was working on the building site, and he wasn't wearing the right footwear, and he was wearing Heelys.
Heelys, all the fun Heelys have. They look like they're fun, but they are just. It's just, yeah. I'm just waiting for accidents to happen when I see
exactly.
Wheelies.
You can't wear them on a building site, you know.
Can't wear them on a building site. You might want to get from, you know, you might want to get to that concrete a little bit quicker, but it's not worth it, mate. Don't get wheelies. Don't do it.
Yeah,
I'm so glad they don't do them in my size. Otherwise, I'd probably be crippled right now.
I'm sure you can get them.
Don't tell me that. I'm told myself that I can't get them. Now that you've told me that, I may have wheelies.
Heelys, right? Is it Heelys or
Heelys? Sorry, Heelys. Sorry, Heelys.
Yeah, because the
first thing you're doing wheelies on my Heelys.
It's in the heel, right? And then you just, how do you do it? You put your feet on.
You lean back in the most unnatural way possible and don't die. That's what happens. Yeah. Anyway, look, we've stolen way more than an hour of your time, brother. And you know what? It's been really good talking about everything that you're doing with Twitch and your comedy. And yeah, I'm just happy that you're in a good place, man, moving forward. And you know, at this time in the world, people need to see that there's different ways to kind of get the job done when it comes to doing comedy or entertainment or just, you know, having some fun out there. So yeah, I look forward to seeing your stream. Ouija board was very interesting, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that whole scenario goes as we move forward. And if you need a voice for the coda, I'm all over it, mate.
Cheers.
All right, cool.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. It's been Hard to Kill an Hour. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.